Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, this is God's word. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master, Abraham, and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands to give him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beka and 2 gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels. Then he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder as well as room for you to spend the night." Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, The Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives. The girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, and had heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. "Come, you who are blessed by the Lord," he said. "Why are you standing out here? I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels, and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say." "Then tell us," Laban said. So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, men servants and maid servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife Sarah has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, 'You must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son.' Then I asked my master, 'What if the woman will not come back with me?' He replied, 'The Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and make your journey a success, so that you can get a wife for my son from my own clan and from my father's family. Then, when you go to my clan, you will be released from my oath. Even if they refuse to give her to you, you will be released from my oath. When I came to the spring today, I said, 'O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I've come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a maiden comes out to draw water and I say to her, "Please, let me drink a little water from your jar," and if she says to me, "Drink and I'll draw water for your camels too," let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son." Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, "Please give me a drink." She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink and I'll water your camels too." So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him." Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and worshiped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so that I may know which way to turn." Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son as the Lord has directed." When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master." But her brother and her mother replied, "Let the girl remain with us 10 days or so. Then you may go." But he said to them, "Do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master." Then they said, "Let's call the girl and ask her about it." So they called Rebekah and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies." Then Rebekah and her maids got ready and mounted their camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai Roy, and he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Wow. Not exactly a modern romance. Not typical of the way we do things. Isaac at this point is 40 years old. And his dad is concerned because he's 40 years old and he still hasn't married. And, you know, it's not just he wants his son not to be lonely, but he also knows that it's through this son, Isaac, that God's promise is to be fulfilled. And his name is to be the father of many through Isaac. How's that going to happen if Isaac doesn't get married? See, these people understood something, and that is first you get married, then you have babies. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way God designed it. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The one flesh relationship, the physical relationship, comes after the two have been united as husband and wife. Abraham says, how is my son going to carry on the line and have all these children out of which will come this huge multitude? How is that going to happen if he doesn't get married? So he calls his top servant over and he says, I want you to make a promise that you will get a wife for my son, and not just any woman will do. I don't want one of these Canaanite women. What's the problem? Is this a racial thing? No. This is a faith thing. This was about the fact that the Canaanites did not worship the true God, and he wanted somebody who would be from his family who knew who God is. Let me tell you, the most important thing about the person you marry is their relationship with the Lord. So, Abraham understood, my son needs to get married, and he sends his servant to go get a wife for him. Why would he send his servant? Because he didn't want his son going back there, because he didn't want his son to end up trapped there, because he wanted his son to stay where God had promised that the inheritance would be. And he knew if he went back to Uncle Laban, Uncle Laban has a way of trying to keep people there. We'll find out more about that in the days to come and chapters to come. But I want you to understand something. Abraham sends his servant instead of his son to get a wife for his son. We think that's just crazy. Okay? I mean, why would somebody else go and pick out? You got to be kidding. He sent somebody else to pick out a wife for his boy. I mean, what's his boy? His boy is 40 years old. He can't pick out his own wife? What's the deal here? Was something wrong with this young man? No. Throughout most of history, in most cultures of the world, marriages have been arranged by other people. And I think one of the reasons for that is because people used marriage as a way of creating alliances and strengthening family ties and sometimes family fortunes. And that's not all good. But I think maybe another reason that there was a lot of arranged marriage going on was because sometimes people whose hormones are in overdrive are not necessarily the best judges of what would make a compatible relationship long term. Okay? I mean, I see a few smiles around the room of people who apparently understand this phenomenon. All right? Sometimes you can fail to see things as clearly as others who are not an immediate part of this can see them. But there was a basic understanding here that God had somebody for Isaac. Now, I've heard well-known, well-respected Christian authors and teachers say, don't teach that. Don't teach that God has somebody special for you, because if you do, then when things get tough in the marriage, they'll say, oh, I must have married the wrong person. I guess now I can get a divorce and go try and look for the right person. And that's a cop-out. Well, that is a cop-out, but that cop-out is based on sinful selfishness, not on the teaching that God has somebody for you. Let me ask you a question. How intelligent do you think God is? He knows everything. Everything. God knows how many hairs are on top of your head right at this moment. So you think he doesn't have an idea about who you're supposed to marry? I mean, really? Because, well, that would just be too much detail for God. Don't be ridiculous. God is infinitely wise, and his knowledge is infinite. God knows how many cells are lining your small intestine at the moment. I mean, this is not hard stuff for God. So the idea that, well, I don't think God really knows who we're going to marry or really cares. What kind of God are you talking about? I'm talking about the God who created the universe, who knows everything, and who cares about us so much that he sent Jesus to save us. The idea that he would say, well, yes, marriage is very important, but not important enough for me to care about who you marry. That's absurd. What does the servant say here? Lord, show me the right one and do it like this so I'll be able to tell. If I say this and she says this, then I'm going to take that she's the one. Well, you know, I mean, what he said was not that remarkable. I mean, you know, she said, yeah, I'll give you something to drink and I'll water your camels. Let me tell you, that is a big deal. If she had said to him, sure, I'll give you something to drink, that would have been hospitality. For her to say, and I'll water your camels. Have you ever seen a camel drink? Have you ever seen a camel drink after it's been on a long trip in a waterless area? And it wasn't one camel, it was a bunch of camels. And she didn't say, I'll let your men use the trough. She said, I'll do it. And she's going down, getting water, and pouring it in the trough. This is a hard worker. This is somebody who is willing to go way above and beyond what other people would do. And so for her to say that was like a miracle. It was like God saying, she's the one. She, right? Right here, this is the one, okay? Now, it's nice that she was also beautiful. In fact, it says she was very beautiful. She was. That's okay. Did you know it is okay to marry someone who is beautiful? Thank God, or I couldn't have married Mrs. Wood. All right? It is perfectly fine to appreciate someone's good looks. It's right here in the text. Presented approvingly is a blessing from God, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is, Lord, I want to know which one is the one. And her character mattered more than her looks. She was a virgin. She had not been immoral. She was willing to come with this servant, whom she never met before, trusting in God, that this is God's plan. And so she left with him. And what happened when she got close to where Isaac was. She's riding on her camel. She sees a guy walking that way. She gets down off the camel, says, "Who is that man?" They say, "That's the fellow you're going to marry." And she says, "Oh, just a minute." She put a veil over her face. Why was she having a flare-up, needed some proactive? No, she was modest. Modest means that you don't try to attract attention to yourself. Instead, you're focused on giving glory to the Lord. And this young woman covered up, not because she was ashamed, not because she was unattractive, but because it's nice to unwrap a gift. She was about to marry this fella. And so instead of advertising herself, she simply was modest. And he took her as his wife, not his girlfriend, not his fiance. He took her as his wife. He married her. And then it says, and he loved her. In the 1960s, the Stupid Song Award goes to, "Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you." How crazy is that? That's not love. It's attraction. Maybe lust, but it's not love. Love involves getting to know somebody. Love involves a relationship. Love involves wanting what's best for them. Isaac loved his wife. And that is what makes marriages strong. Because feelings come and go. They do. Love never fails. Love never fails. So, what I want you to learn from this is that God does have a plan for your life, and that plan includes whether you're supposed to marry, and if you are supposed to marry, it includes the person that you're supposed to marry, and when you're supposed to marry. In other words, God's plan for your life doesn't have a bunch of gaps where God says, "Surprise me." God's got the thing mapped out, and his plan is good, and it's often not what we would come up with. But if you are trusting in him and aware that he is working on your behalf, you don't have to worry about it. I think about my kids who are married. I've got 7 kids. 3 of them are married. In all 3 cases, those sons of mine were surprised initially about the relationship that it became clear God had for them. God's plan is good. But it's often not what we would plan. And his timing is perfect. But it's often not what we would choose. God has a plan for you. And you don't need to be focused on, where am I going to find somebody? Where, you know, what do I need to do? Okay? Your focus should be on serving the Lord and pleasing him. And if you will focus there, you'll find out that his plan for you is really a tremendous plan. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. Doesn't mean it's always easy. Doesn't mean it's always fun. It's always good. It's always right. It's God's plan. You won't be sorry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. That's the point.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.